Thanks, Vivian. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Dassey Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks very much, Jeremy. Good afternoon on this Thursday afternoon. How are you? 51551 or ray@rte.ie. It is the 1st of December, which means we can talk about Christmas. Yes, we don't have to apologise or make excuses. We can talk about Christmas because it is December. Mina Nullag, the month of Christmas. And we're doing it again this year. We've been doing it for years and years and years. The big Christmas thank you. And it's where we ask you, the listeners, to tell us about somebody in your life that you want to say a big thank you to. It's a lovely Christmassy thing. And that's why we keep returning to it year after year after year. So the way it works is this. You think of the person. It could be a mother, a father, it could be a son or a daughter, it could be a neighbour, it could be a work colleague, it could be a friend. Then you tell us as much as you can about that person and why you want to nominate them for the big Christmas thank you in an email. Then we go through them all and we select the ones we're going to use. We can't get to everybody, obviously. And then on the day when we do it, we ring you and you've been in cahoots with us to get the person that you've nominated on the other end of a phone line. Sometimes it's, will you stay there now? Make sure to answer the phone because there's a guy from DHL coming to deliver a package and I won't be there and you have to be, answer the phone, blah, blah, blah. And then we ring them and surprise them live on air. And then you say hello to them and they're surprised that you're on the radio with them. And then we read out the email and then we give them something lovely for Christmas. And we say, that's a big Christmas thank you. So, for example, last year, Carol thanked her lovely dad, Matt, who did everything for everyone without looking for anything in return. That was Matt. And Marie, who wanted to show her gratitude for her husband, Barry, who became a stay-at-home carer for their son. And there was also Adrian, who surprised her friend, Darina, who she called her angel on earth. And Teresa, who wanted to repay her one-in-a-million friend, Jer, for her kindness as she helped her through her cancer treatment. So this year will be the biggest Christmas thank yous yet. We're very confident about that. It's all thanks to our friends in Super Value. They're helping to share the magic of Christmas with great value, quality Irish festive fare for any occasion. So, ray@rte.ie with thank you in the subject line. So, as much detail as you can about the person you're nominating. It could be somebody who was just there for you. You might have had a tough year and there was one person that was there for you, your rock, who you could turn to whenever things were bad. That might be the person. It might be somebody who's been helping you out for a lifetime, i.e. a parent or an auntie or an uncle or whoever. You get the idea anyway. It's our big Christmas thank you. We want you to nominate people to us, ray@rte.ie with thank you in the subject. And we'll be doing that the week after next, which will be 2 weeks before Christmas, won't it? Yeah. The big Christmas thank you. RayRTE.ie with thank you in the subject line. And it's a part of my job that I love, been involved in the big Christmas thank you. Now, a part of parenting is minding the word, making sure, I don't know what the correct word is, but today is the day that they arrive. And I'm talking about the elves on the shelves all over the country. It's great. They're brilliant because they're sent from the North Pole down to keep an eye on our little people to make sure they're behaving themselves and to make sure that their names stay on the nice list. Like Santa is brilliant and he's ubiquitous and omnipotent and all those things, but he hasn't got eyes everywhere. So what he has is elves on shelves, and they are his eyes and ears in Ireland and all around the world, and they're the people, or the elves, I should say, who report back to him. And that's how he makes up his naughty and nice list, or lists. But they've arrived. Now, some people may have had them from last night. Others, like in our house, for some reason, they arrive on the night of the 1st of December, as opposed to, you know, the 31st of November. But they're around. So any reports of elves and shelves and what they've been up to and what devilment and mischievousness they've been up to, do let us know. 51551ray@rte.ie. Of course, as we come close to the end of the year, we're looking back on the year that was. And the big news yesterday for people who use Spotify was the Spotify Wrapped. I don't know if you know about this, if you're not on Spotify, but what they do is, at the end of every year, they collate all your listening habits for the year and they present it to you in a little sort of video type thing. on Spotify. So it tells you how many minutes you've listened to, how many artists you've listened to, how many genres you've listened to. It tells you who your top artists were, who your top songs were, all of that. And it's all delivered to you. And people were sharing it left, right and centre yesterday. Spotify Wrapped. And I suppose the music we listen to and the amount of music we listen to says something about us. I'm just looking here at the team. Gilly is the one who listens to the least music, 11,208 minutes. That's 7.5 days or thereabouts. And her top tune was this. That's like the music we play to the dogs at night. Lovely though. Kinderzensen, or even Kinderzensenin, composed by Robert Schumann. That was Gilly's most played piece of music in 2022. Who's next on the list there? Misha, Mae Fain, actually. 13,000 minutes or thereabouts. It's about 9 days. And our top tune was...
Well, since my baby left me, will I find a new place to dwell?
I'm saying our because it's Tom Darcy is the main instigator of that. He's become a huge fan of Elvis Presley. In fact, when we got our stats, we're in the top 0.5% of Elvis Presley fans in the world. Gives you that sort of detail as well. Then at 15,000, Niamh... So that's 10.5 days. Niamh's top tune.
You know it's not the same as it was in this world. It's just us. You know it's not the
same. Niamh's at pains to point out that it was probably Shifra, her daughter, who got Harry Styles and As It Was to the top of their heap on their Spotify Wrapped. 16,685. Emily Phelan, because we've two Emilys, you see, that's 11.5 days.
That you've got a higher power. Got me singing every second, dancing every hour.
That was her top tune, Coldplay, Neil. The man on the team that listens to Spotify most often. 29,000 minutes, sounds like a lot because it is 21.3 days. And Neil's top tune... It's fun. It's a fun thing, is Spotify Wrapped. And I'm sure you've been delving into yours and your friends as well. If you have anything of note to share with us, do. The other thing they're looking back at as we near the end of the year is the most watched YouTube videos in Ireland in 2022. No surprises here. The most watched video is the uncensored moment Will Smith smacked Chris Rock on stage at the Oscars back in April. And I'm going to play it again for you. And... I'd forgotten how intense the whole thing was. And just a warning, it will make you feel tense because of its intensity. Here we go.
Uh-oh, Richard! Oh, wow! Wow! Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me. Wow, dude.
Yes.
It was a G.I. Jane jump.
Keep my wife's name out your f***ing mouth.
I'm going to.
Whew. Yeah. Why do we feel so bound to watch that sort of thing? Anyway, there it is. That was the most watched YouTube video on YouTube in 2022. To lighter things, the top music video of 2022 in Ireland. He's back.
Watermelon sugar high.
It wasn't that. It was this.
You know it's not the same as it was in this world. It's just us.
Harry Styles and As It Was. And there'll be more and more lists of things over the coming weeks. Everybody looking back at 2022. And of course, when it comes to the end of the year, it'll be the people we lost during the year. And unfortunately, Christine McVie from Fleetwood Mac is going to be on that list. I don't know about you, huge fan of Fleetwood Mac. And we were just saying at the beginning of the year, when they added up the sales of vinyl in Ireland last year, rumours from Fleetwood Mac was the top-selling album on vinyl last year in Ireland. So still hugely popular, released back in 1977. And there's a lovely letter doing the rounds on social media from Stevie Nicks. I'll just read a bit of it to you. A few hours ago, I was told that my best friend in the whole world since the first day of 1975 had passed away. I didn't even know she was ill until late Saturday night. I wanted to be in London. I wanted to get to London, but we were told to wait. So since Saturday, one song has been swirling around in my head over and over and over. I thought I might possibly get to sing it to her, and so I'm singing it to her now. I've always knew I would need these words one day. And the song she's talking about is this one. We play it for you today in memory of Christine McVie. It's Hallelujah by Haim. Lovely lyrics there. And I'm sure Haim, if asked, would say they were influenced in a big way by Fleetwood Mac. Now, let's tell you about our quiz. We're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and answer three questions each on bits of songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And we have a prize, which is a two-night stay for two people at the Fota Island Resort down there in Cork. Relaxing luxury, one of the gorgeous suites overlooking 780 acres of lush countryside. Unwind at Fota Island Spa or experience a game of golf on one of the three magnificent championship golf courses. There are also many dining options throughout the resort, including the fine dining at the Cove Restaurant and all-day dining at the Amber Lounge. And loads to do, the wildlife park, there's a spa there, of course you can go into Cork City, go out east to Ballycotton and places like that. Fotaisland.ie, Fotaisland.ie for more information. Here is today's qualifying question, ladies and gentlemen. Many households have been visited by a mischievous guest this morning. Is it the elf on the shelf or the gnome in the home? Difficult enough to say if you have a cold. Many households have been visited by a mischievous guest this morning. Is it the elf on the shelf or the gnome in the home? They're having fun with me upstairs now. Give me that one. 0818 715 925. 0818 715 925. And good luck with that. And we could be talking to you after 4 o'clock.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
John has been on. When do I find out if I'm going to the castle? I jump every time the phone rings. Well, we're going through all the entries, John, so you'll hear from us as soon as we can get to them. There's been hundreds of people who want to join us for our Christmas at the Castle show on December 9th up in Dublin Castle. Fingers crossed for you, John. And that song has made me cry, as it's so perfect. Exactly the same happened to me this year when my best friend and soul sister died. I too wasn't able to see her before she died, as she was in the UK. But I know I was so blessed to have had such an amazing friend for 35 years. And I know she's up there minding me, says Jackie. And there's a little note at the end of that letter that Stevie Nicks has put up on social media saying, I'll see you on the other side. My husband Paul's time on Spotify could be a record. It's 68,774 minutes. And believe it or not, his top song is Dominator by Armin van Buuren. Is that a dance tune? It is a dance tune. It is a dance tune. I'll have to check that out and see what it sounds like. 68,774 minutes. What's that in hours? What's that in days? I'll work that out as well. Now, seven-year-old Hunter, Hunter Halpin, has been swimming in the sea every day during the month of November. Hunter has been braving the freezing cold temperatures in Cove, all in an effort to raise money for a new sports kit for his school. His school is Gael School E. Egerty, and Hunter is in second class. His GoFundMe, Dane Splunk, or Make a Splash in English, is the fundraising page. And Hunter is on the line with his mum, Clodagh. Hello, Clodagh.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good. And hello, Hunter. You can hear me there in the background.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? Now, congratulations to everybody involved here, because the Atlantic Ocean in November isn't that warm, is it, Hunter?
No.
No, it's not. So, Clodagh, who came up with this idea?
My eldest son came up with the idea that we should do something to do with swimming, and then Hunter decided he wanted to swim for a whole month, every single day. Right. And between all the jigs and reels, it ended up being November. Should have thought it through a bit more, but...
Yeah. And the school need sports kit.
They have old singlets for the running, and every year we've great success at it. So Hunter wanted to look the part as well. So hopefully he'll qualify now next year as well.
Right. So what was the target amount then when you set off on your fundraising efforts?
It was €600.
And where are you at now?
What are we at now, Hunter? Say it out, tell Ray.
3,860.
Wow. Well done, Hunter. Brilliant. So can I talk to Hunter for a few minutes, if you don't mind?
No bother.
Yeah. How you doing, Hunter?
Good.
Yeah, so yesterday was the last day. How did you feel about that?
I was okay with it, but I prefer to keep it going.
All right. How did your classmates react yesterday when you returned from your swim?
They gave me a hero's welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then I got to drink tea and, like, eat cake. But I was the only one in my class.
You were the only one who got tea and cake in your class?
Yeah.
Ah, brilliant. You see, we deserved it. You were out swimming in the Atlantic Ocean. Were there any days where you thought, oh, maybe I won't do it today?
No.
No. Every day you went out and splashed in the water.
But I didn't just splash.
Go on. What did you do?
I was actually swimming.
Yeah. And you wore a wetsuit?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think the school is going to buy now with your €3,860 that you've raised?
Well, it's for, like, the sports stuff.
Yeah.
It's mostly for the running gear.
What distance do you run?
What?
What distance do you run? Do you run yourself?
Yeah, I got into it last year.
Yeah. And do you do sprints or do you do long distance?
Sprints.
Okay. I'll talk to your mum again. Well done, Hunter.
Good.
Yeah, slán. And Clodagh, you didn't think that anybody would pay too much attention to Hunter's swimming during the month of November?
No, we didn't think it would take off the way it did. You know, we're a small little community school and we thought, you know, we might get a bit from the town of Cove, but it took off. And people from everywhere. We've people from Canada messaging us. We've people from Finland following. So it just kind of blew up there in the middle of the month, and the following is massive.
Yeah, and you obviously had to go in with them every day.
I obviously had to go in with them. Yeah. So I've been doing a little bit. I wouldn't go every day. I'd go kind of maybe twice a week with my friend, and Hunter had been tagging along for the last 2 years. And he loves it. He's a water baby.
Yeah, and I asked him that question, and he said, was there any day that you felt, maybe I won't do it today?
Oh, I had plenty of them. Yeah. He'd none. I had plenty where I went, oh God, the rain, you know, the wind, the cold.
Yeah.
He'd wake up and he'd just say, what time's the tide and what time are we swimming? And that was it.
And there were a couple of stormy days there during November.
There was a couple, yeah. So you'd either go then on a lower tide or we'd switch beaches.
Right.
So not too bad. We got there in the end.
There are some amazing photographs of. Who takes the photographs?
That would be Hunter's dad and my husband. He's a dinger with the camera.
Oh, yeah, a dinger with the camera.
I think it helped. It probably did help the cause, to be honest.
Yeah,
Some of the shots are fantastic. Now, the boys, my kids would be well used to it.
Right.
The camera comes out wherever we go. But it definitely helped.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he is. You can tell him I agree with you. He is a dinger with the camera. And of course,
he is a dinger.
He is a good model there as well in Hunter.
He does.
Yeah, he's very,
he does
very
indeed.
Photogenic. Very photogenic.
And not a bit shy.
Not a bit shy about the camera. No kids are anymore, are they, Clodagh?
No, I don't think so.
They've been brought up with a camera in their face from day
That's
one.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, listen, congratulations, everybody. Cohorticus. Well done, Hunter. Well done. And Gur Mahagut. Thanks very much, Clodagh.
Slán.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, it's the 1st of December, which means you might be starting your preparations for the highly anticipated Christmas roast dinner. Roast being the important word there for our next guests, because they have a fascination, dare I say an obsession, with roast dinners. We've Emer McLysett and Esther O'Moore Donoghue, and they co-host a podcast called Emer and Esther's Sunday Roast. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray.
To give it its full title.
Yeah, sorry, its full title is Emer and Esther Sunday Roast with Emer and Esther.
We just
make it as long as possible.
And you are roast detectives.
We are. We're the Nicola Talents of roast dinners.
Jessica Fletcher, RIP.
Absolutely.
We've taken over her role and we're
very serious about it.
Oh, yeah.
You've done a lot of difficult work. You've put yourself in harm's way.
Carvery Confidential. Absolutely.
So before we get to the podcast, just how did you, where did the friendship start, the two of you?
We met through mutual friends
a
few years ago, then discovered we lived actually quite close to each other in Dolphin's Barn at the time. And then during the lockdown, we started going on our silly little walks together within our 2 kilometres. And there we discovered a shared love of roast dinners, carveries.
Right. I mean, look, there was nothing to do, Ray, and we fixate on things. And that was like, do you think someday we might be able to sit in that pub and have a roast or a carvery? And we were, and that was it. And then, you know, we just kind of extended the stupid idea. And I was like, of course, then if we did that, sure, we might as well start a podcast. No, because at the beginning we were like, we went for carvery and I did up, because we had nothing to do. Like, we were bored off our brains. So I made up these little scorecards and we'd have like earwigging potential, a number of roasties on the plate and just something to, you know, pass the long days.
We went for our first roast together in the Patriots Inn in Kilmainham. And there was great eavesdropping at the time.
That was very good.
There was a group of people waiting for a man called John. And then we got caught up. We were like, is that John? Do you think John's going to arrive anytime soon?
Every time someone new came into the table, it was like, Miss John here. John's not here. Oh, I miss John. Love to see John. Where's John? We're like, where is John? And we were just bed into the Yorkshire puddings listening to this family. Anyway, look, as I said, we didn't get to do.
Like a 5 out of 5 for earwigging.
Yeah, that was that 5 out of 5.
John never arrived.
John never arrived. So we don't know what happened to John, but we
let's
think
get
of
your roast dinner credentials then. So was it something you were brought up with, Esther?
Yeah, I think I was lucky. Mum made a roast every Sunday and of course, you know.
And was it roast chicken every week or
more often than not it was like a roast beef. There were some years where she was bed into the garlic seasoning. There was a lot of garlic salt going around the place. But it was just standard roast and, you know, roast potatoes are very important. And me and my brother, you know, if there was one left on the plate, if you got to it first, then good luck to you because we were not going to be polite and say, you have that. No, it's fine. Yeah. It was just like every person for themselves.
Stretch or starve,
So Mum made a great roast. And they're just very comforting. And that's what we had growing up. And
what about you, Emer?
Same. Yeah, we used to have a roast every Sunday. My mother cooked most of them, but my dad stepped in a good bit of the time. Often had chicken. That was my favourite. And I preferred a leg. And I think I was the only one in the family who preferred a leg. So I
that
was always very happy.
Can I get involved in this?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that okay?
This is safe space, Ray. Share your story, please. Please.
One thing we've learned since we started this podcast everyone has an opinion, but more everyone has like a cozy, lovely story about their own roast journey.
Well, I just better interject there and go, yes, if you have a roast story, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Yeah, my dad was on duty in the kitchen on a Sunday, and I still can't understand how he got to feed us out of one chicken.
Yeah.
There were 9 children.
Whoa.
9 children. And we all got a bit of chicken.
So 11 people in total?
11 people in total.
I thought my mother used to get roast dinner for 5 people out of a chicken and then a chicken curry the following day.
Well, you see,
she was a wizard
dinner.
With a carcass.
That's, that's 2 dinners. Were chickens bigger?
They were.
Were chickens bigger? Text in now. Were chickens bigger?
Maybe our expectations were lower.
Maybe that's it,
But was the plate, what did the plate look like, Ray? Was it padded out with lots more veg or something? Because maybe we were too greedy for protein now.
Well, of course plates were smaller.
Plates were smaller, chickens were bigger.
And we only had, I mean, in the 80s when I was growing up, I feel like the only vegetable available to us was carrots.
And peas.
Like, I don't know, had broccoli made it to Kildare in the 80s?
But that was a nice combination.
You know, the mushy peas. We used to have a mushy pea soaked overnight.
Sorry, lads. I was reading this about you. That there's no way you serve mushy peas with a roast dinner.
Emer, I don't agree with you.
Mushy peas every Sunday.
Yeah.
With our roast.
Mushy peas, firstly, are a British thing, not an Irish thing. And secondly, they only serve with fish and chips.
No.
Mushy peas are universal.
We had them soaked. You put them in on a Sunday or a Saturday evening with the little bicarbonate of soda disc.
The little salpidine.
And then they'd be served on Sunday. They tasted of literally nothing. But they were very important. They probably took up a third of the plate now that we're talking about it.
So they were, like you couldn't see the spheres. They were all mushed together.
Very mushy, yeah. But they weren't that bright green colour. They were more of a muted... I'm not really selling them here, am I?
No, so I love mushrooms. Grey-green.
Kind of a grey-green.
Yes, yeah.
And you can still get them.
No, I can see them in my head, yeah.
It's a Faroe ball colour now. People would be going mad for that colour.
Mushy
green.
Peas,
yeah. Mushy pea green.
What's that you have in the accent world? But also, oh, it's mushy peas.
If you don't support the use of mushy peas in a roast plate, how would you feel about a Yorkshire pudding, Ray?
Yeah, well, again, that's obviously just the name. Is it the clue's in the name there? Yeah.
Now, we wouldn't have grown up with Yorkshire puddings, but we welcome them when they come. When we go to a carvery and they appear on the menu, we welcome them.
I think one thing we all agree on, and I think most people agree on this, that the star of the plate is the roast potato.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do you agree on that now?
I recently revealed to Esther, and she was really taken aback, that if I was given a choice and I could only have either mash or roast, I would go for mash.
Controversial.
I mean, it's just roasties. There's so much at stake with a roast potato. I feel with mash, you're on an even playing field. It's usually good.
So what you're saying is it's easy to get a roast wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't want to be disappointed. You don't want to roast with a lot of give. You know, when you go down with the knife and it kind of bends in and you're like, well, I've been had here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, like, roasties, I agree with you, Ray, they're dominant veg, you need them. But they are difficult to replicate really good roastie in a carvery, Banmarie experience.
Yeah.
I think the home roastie is peak
roast.
That's
actually
potato.
What we found in our investigations is in a carvery, it's very difficult to get a good roast.
Even if the
a
plate,
good roast potato, I mean.
Yeah.
Because
they're batch cooked. They're made en masse. They're sitting in kind of a stainless steel bath of their own kind of
And
steam.
Would you be suspicious in some places that they're probably frozen?
Yeah, we have had our suspicions and also that they could be deep fried.
Right, okay.
So, you know, I feel like I'm right in my assertion that maybe I would go for the mash.
But when you're at home, and let's stay at home for the moment before we go out to the carvery. Mm-hmm. When you're at home and there is a perfectly cooked roast potato, that is heaven.
Can't beat it.
Oh. Yeah.
You can't beat it.
You need to have the craggy edges. You need a bit of fat. Even if you don't have the goose fat, you have a bit of sunflower oil, but enough oil. You can't be stingy with the oil. Go to town on that and let them heat up the oil first of all, and then put in your cooked potatoes and jiggle them around.
Oh, so they should be sizzling.
Should be spitting out at you.
It took me a long time to learn that, but it should be. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing you might find very controversial, and blame Nigella Lawson for it. Semolina.
On the roasties.
Yes.
I believe it makes them nice and crispy.
Oh.
Okay.
Now it's a Christmas.
That sounds very British
it's a Christmas
to me,
day
right?
Treat.
It's a Christmas absolutely day treat. The height of notions, but
you have nobody has any idea unless you tell them.
Okay.
But it does.
And when are you adding it?
Will you parboil your spuds?
Obviously,
yeah. Right, and then you put them have them in your saucepan. You put in your 2 tablespoons full of semolina. Then you bash the whole thing around.
Oh God, yeah, go mad!
It's getting in there. Then you're
like, what do those potatoes ever do to you?
You heat the fat up to about 250 degrees, and then you throw them in there. Sizzling, they're lovely.
Okay.
Do you know what I think? People who have a double oven are really living it up when it comes to roast potatoes, because the more things that are in the oven, the worse the roast potatoes are.
Because you're taking the heat out of the oven, and the more roast potatoes you do, the less likely they are to be perfect.
I have a friend who is a wizard in the kitchen. His name is Cliff. Hello, Cliff. And we were away on a holiday recently, and there was one really substandard oven, and he still managed to pull off an incredible roast potato.
Right.
Some people are born with it.
Yeah. He's a natural. Yeah. Okay, let's get out of the home then and into the hospitality industry. So you went to pubs and hotels, and how do you choose them?
We put out the feelers. We kind of said, right, we're going to do this podcast. We're going to do it in the lead up to Christmas. It'll be lovely and cosy. So we put out some questions on Instagram and said, where should we go in the greater Dublin area? And then we kind of collated the results and picked kind of the top 9 or 10. We've had to kind of deviate from that list a little bit because of geography or time or whatever. Mm. So there's a few curveballs in there, but...
Yeah, but the recommendations don't stop coming. So yeah, we just put like little asterisks beside them. We had a Google Docs, very scientific. We are detectives and we, you know, collated them, and that's how it goes. Sometimes, like, as I said, due to schedule, we have to do emergency roasts. Where's the nearest? Like last week, I ranked 5 venues in under a minute. What time does your carvery end? Okay,
I couldn't
believe
how quick she was dialing. She was like, finishes at 3, we'll never make it, thank you. So we ended up in the halfway house in Drimna. Which was
it's Walkinstown. No, we're not sure, we keep saying that
it's Drimna slash
Walkinstown.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Do they know you're coming?
No.
No, we're
heavily disguised. We go in there with big overcoats and beards. But no, maybe
so you're like secret shoppers.
Yes. Esther's actually on my shoulders, and we've got a big trench coat, and we're just like, "Hello, who's that very tall woman getting two carveries?"
She must be 9 foot tall. Fair play to her.
No, they don't know we're coming, and also
we don't know overstate our importance in the carvery space. But probably I'd say there will be some day, Ray, where our faces will be pinned inside kitchen doors. Probably like be fearful of these women; they can make or break this carvery.
I don't
experience.
Know if
Sunday
our
World
names.
Pub spy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know if our names precede us just yet.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think they're just like, "Oh, here's two girls getting a bit of everything."
Yeah, full plate please, bit of everything, thank you. Yeah.
So when you say a bit of everything, so you have your meat, is it usually just one or do you have a choice?
We found in our journey so far that you can ask for more than one meat. You could ask for a slice of everything if you wanted. And I actually did that in our last
carvery. Which would be beef, chicken?
It's usually beef, chicken and ham.
Yes.
Sorry, no, beef, turkey and ham.
Right.
If there's chicken, it's usually in breast format in the Bain-Marie or, in its own little silver
next door to the salmon on cruise.
Yeah, the
like
salmon
that.
On cruise is there for the fish
for
people.
For the vegetarians and the fish people. Yeah, that they're not vegetarians.
Yeah, sure, it'd be ridiculous slicing up chickens.
No, you'd be there all night.
You'd be like my dad. so it's turkey, ham or beef.
Usually turkey, ham or beef. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't really come across any deviations.
So then your spuds, they come in various guises.
Various forms. Yeah, there's almost always mash and roast, although the carvery that we had for this Sunday's episode, no roast potatoes.
Boiled?
Boiled or just mash?
They had croquettes.
Right.
At this place, they
that's
had croquettes.
Very unusual.
Now, I know it sounds very alarming, but it was actually delicious. It was actually
don't
my favourite.
Be alarmed. Yeah.
It was actually my favourite one so far.
You
so.
See, because everything that you mention, I'm adding gravy to it.
Yeah.
Now, gravy with croquettes, doesn't work.
Do you know what else we've discovered? Mm-hmm. There are some carvery providers that have really considered their gravy delivery.
Right.
So some of them just lob it on and then underneath it's all dry and it's wrong. But some places are like, then we put this on the plate, then we add gravy. Then we put something else on the plate and we add gravy.
Right. Yeah.
And then we put the dry croquette on top.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, it's about texture.
We're recording Sunday's episode today, so we don't reveal where we went because there's a lot of anticipation, right? I don't want to give it away. But that their gravy application was
their
extraordinary.
Gravy application
had not
was
seen it before.
Extraordinary.
It was a double ladle.
Yeah.
And two different layers. Yeah. And I was like, well, fair play to you, that was great. But we've also learned that if you don't see the gravy application is exemplary, then you should always request a gravy boat because it's better to be looking at it than looking for it, because you will go, maybe this is a bit dry, you don't want to go from your table, so have a little gravy boat beside you. And they're ploughed a hell of gravy boats. They'll absolutely offer you a gravy boat. Loads of them.
I would say after our second carver we learned we need to get a gravy boat every single time.
Yes.
And the standard of gravy?
Mixed. Mm-hmm. I would say mixed. Mm-hmm. I feel like we can tell now when a thickening powder has been added.
Which is fine.
Which I'm very all for.
You have to.
I'm all for. We had
when it's pure powder and then some of them we add in like a bit of onion and a bit of fat. And
some
stuff
of
like
them
that.
Have very strong oxtail soup vibes. Mm-hmm. Right. Which again, very tasty.
Yeah. I mean, honestly.
Never met a packet of oxtail soup I didn't enjoy.
Like we talk about them every time, but really there's all of them we love. We haven't had a bad plate.
No.
Okay.
It's just a bit of fun.
Another important aspect of the roast dinner, of course, is stuffing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, stuffing is very important.
I'm a stuffing fan. Stuffing is very important to me. Yeah, we always had it growing up. My mother makes an incredible sausage meat stuffing at Christmas, and I just love stuffing. It's just so flavoursome.
Yeah,
and
you don't get it at every carvery.
You don't get it at every carvery, and some of it is very dry.
Mm.
Very dry.
Yeah,
it's kind of like soil, really.
It's like bread soil. Yeah. It's like buttery bread soil, I believe.
Yeah. But some of it is lovely and moist.
But that onion and bread crumbs and
a bit of or sage or rosemary or something else, a bit of green on the plate. Yeah. It adds a bit of colour.
I think the key there is, I've learnt it by, by being given
life.
Out
to
you. By life, yes, yeah. Thank is you. That you fry off the onions first. It's
oh, yes. Yeah.
And also, again, my mother's recipe involves...
I know, that seems the obvious thing to do, but...
A tablespoon of HP brown sauce and a tablespoon of Worcester sauce in your stuffing mix.
Right.
Delicious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Portions were smaller and healthier years ago, says that person. I always had gravy testers every Sunday for the roasts. Oh my God, Ray, to this day, my grown-up adult family test the gravy every Sunday. Add a bit of this, add a bit of that, and then they all cook great homemade gravy now.
Ooh.
And Ray, yes to the mushy peas, soaked overnight, always.
Always,
says Trish.
Yeah, Trish.
Yes to the mushy peas, yes. Jamie Oliver does a good gravy.
He does. He's bashing around on top of the hall.
Yeah,
like, squashing things.
You don't want to be doing it on the day. It's something you pre-prepare.
Yeah.
I think mostly if I was making gravy, it would be out the little sachet or the little whatever granules. But on Christmas Day, you cook your carrot and your parsnip, and if you want to liquidize it all and gravy.
And I mean, there's people putting wine in gravies and everything like that.
Yeah,
that's
red
a
wine,
bit
yes.
beyond my pay grade.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right, okay. They were marifat peas, and we had them every Sunday.
They're right, marifat
also,
peas.
Also, I don't roast today's marifat. They weren't mushy peas.
Well, they went mushy.
What's the difference? I don't know the difference between marifat and mushy peas.
Marifat
peas are mushy peas.
God.
Let's talk about. No, we need to talk about.
Can we get an expert
this?
On the line there?
Dr. P.
Will somebody please put us out of our misery and tell us the difference between marifat and mushy?
It's like every pea isn't a mushy pea, but every mushy pea is a marifat pea.
Oh. Okay, we're confused, but let's keep going.
Put it on a tea towel.
It's not Christmas dinner without marifat peas, says Owen. I found that going for Carvery with my boyfriend, he always gets more served to him on the plate.
Yeah, I've heard that.
More meat and spuds. What? It must be because he's a man, they think he'll eat more, but I'm the one who eats more. I do say it to them, and they've no problem giving me more of what I ask for, but it drives me mad.
That's annoying.
As it would. Yeah,
we've come across some chefs are heavy-handed, some aren't. Some carveries have one man in a white hat behind them. Some have four of mixed genders. You don't know what's going on back
there. Don't know what's going to happen. And if you go for a carvery, there's always the full plate. They do offer a half plate as well, but we haven't gone for one of those. We support all lifestyles, but we go for the full
plate. We're not half plate girls, yeah.
And what's the thing that has most surprised you in your carvery adventures?
I think it's a very wholesome thing. I think the staff who work in all the places are so nice, and they know it's kind of a nice thing. I would say you can't go, maybe you can go into a carvery in a bad mood, but you can't come out of one like that because it's just so cosy, it's wholesome. People are either dying, they're in bits, or they're just having a nice Sunday and they're kind of just, it's a little, so I just think people who work in all the places we've been to know it's kind of a nice time. They always go, did you enjoy that?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Like, enjoy. It's just very,
it's very cozy
and nice.
I've been surprised by the number of people who want to talk about this.
That's it, yes.
Who've come up to us or have messaged us and been like, oh my God, finally, I can talk about carveries.
Yeah. Because everyone's plate, ideal plate looks is completely different depending on what they grew up with. So it's nice.
Ray and the Roasters, that's you too. That's your new name for you, yeah. Use mayonnaise instead of oil on your parboiled spuds for biblical roast potatoes.
Someone said this.
You'll never look back, Chris.
Someone contacted us and said that.
Yeah, someone said this.
Yeah.
Interesting, no, I don't know.
Because we obviously, when we're doing the podcast, we asked for every opinion that anyone ever has. And we've had someone say about the mayonnaise on the roasties. Sounds horrific, but
it does.
Yeah.
I would try it before a big event.
I think maybe if I didn't know the mayonnaise was there, like if I didn't know how the sausage got made,
you're not into
and I was just eating them and I was just like, these are delicious. And then if someone was like, oh, there's mayonnaise on them, and I'd be like, well,
not good
day.
Yeah. It was like I was at a wedding and my mum and her sisters and you were all there and the starter came out and it was, what do you call that raw beef?
Carpaccio
of beef.
Oh, Esther recently had a terrible experience with beef carpaccio.
And they were all going, oh, this is delicious. And then I said innocently, oh yeah, raw beef. And then it went,
They hadn't connected what they're eating with what.
What's your episode with carpaccio of beef?
I just had a recent it's a met air and red level 5 warning food poisoning. Basically, I had a beef carpaccio. It was horrific. I had to get a ferry. I was in Venice.
Yeah.
And a plane.
And she heroically recorded.
So where did you have the beef
carpaccio? I was in Venice. It sounds very extravagant. I said, I'm in Venice, I'll have beef carpaccio. Big mistake. Big mistake.
Yeah. And then we recorded a podcast episode while she was just coming out the end of this episode. And there was a lot of... I had to say a lot of the words for Esther.
But look, we're here now. We made it. Made it through.
Yeah, Augie, you're so brave.
So brave.
Back on the beef.
Back on the beef. Am I right, girls?
Emer and Esther's Sunday Roast with Emer and Esther.
That's it.
And it's up until Christmas and may continue after that, I would imagine.
Yeah, every Sunday morning-ish. Yeah. Mid-morning.
What about your Spotify Wrapped?
Well, mine was heavily Harry Styles based.
Yeah, I'm just looking at you here, looking at your top 5 artists. In descending order, it was... Dancing Queen, that's ABBA there. And you had Oasis with that, number 4. At number 3 was Olivia Rodrigo. She's the driver license woman.
That's her.
And Sour. Is that one of her songs?
That's her album, yeah.
Yeah, and... Taylor Swift's at number 2 for you.
She's released an amazing album.
I think she was the most listened in Ireland, Taylor Swift.
Oh, was she in Ireland?
Yes, yes. But for you, it was Harry Styles. Watermelon sugar high. Now, Esther, yours, Robin, at number five. Yeah. At number four. It's a beautiful
day. I know, random. I didn't think I was at the
end of the year.
Roisin Murphy was at number three. Mm-hmm. Kanye West at number two. And at number one.
Yes. Yes. In the top 2% of Beyonce listeners.
Are you worldwide. In the world?
Yeah.
I was in the top 1% of Harry Styles listeners. Well, but my friend was top 0.5%.
That's a lot of Harry Styles.
We were in the top 0.5% Elvis Presley listeners.
Amazing. I think a lot of... And one of my friends, her top listen was Elvis Presley this year. Yeah. I think because of the film.
Yeah.
So.
Last year mine was very avant-garde and I had a lot of Irish artists. This year I just leaned heavily into basic pop music, as you can tell from my top
five. And what did your personality come out as? Because at the end of it, it gives you sort of a, what type?
Oh, I think I was, because I had listened to so much Harry Styles, my top five songs were Harry Styles, it was something like The Enthusiast.
Yes.
You're really loyal to just the one.
Right.
Mine was, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? They're all over the place. There's no rhyme or reason. But
I don't think
I was called The Enthusiast.
Yes.
So okay. I just played the same song over and over again.
Now, Marifat peas back in the day had to be soaked overnight. Mushy don't. Nowadays, you can get no-soak Marifat peas and they're also lovely, says Anne.
Yeah.
But are the mushy not just pre-soaked for you?
No, you see... Okay, no, you can get cans of, no, you can get cans of mushy peas, which are the Marifats that have been soaked and canned up. You can get the soaky Marifat peas with the little disc. You can get no-soak Marifat peas that have no disc. All you do is add the water to them.
Right.
Who knows? It's important.
And we have Yorkshire puddings and Marifats every Sunday to this day, says that person.
Yeah, you're dead right.
I love a Yorkie.
Before I let you go, because I have to play a song before the Noct, your most favourite Christmassy, non-Christmassy song, if you know what I mean.
Christmassy, non-Christmassy.
So a song that feels Christmassy but doesn't mention Christmas.
Oh, do you know, I can't remember the name or the... Or the band, so that's very useful, isn't it?
Oh, that's great. And me, I'm the same, yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. Thank you very much. They were really helpful on that one. I'll direct people towards Emer and Esther, Sunday Roast with Emer and Esther. And Emer, I believe you're working on a new Aisling book.
Aisling 5.
Yeah,
by this time next year, it'll be in your Christmas stockings.
Great,
hopefully.
But the diary's out now.
Caravan of Love, that's kind of a Christmas song. Is that the one I'm trying to think of?
Yeah. Caravan of Love by House Martins.
Yeah.
Brilliant choice. Thank you very much.
I knew it had come to me.
Worth the wait. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And Emer MacLeish had mentioned Only You by Yazoo, as well as this one. A non-Christmassy song, if you know what I mean. Yeah, you do. You know now. Yeah. House Martins. House Martins and their version of the Isley Brothers' Caravan of Love. A song that is Christmassy but doesn't mention Christmas in it. Any more suggestions for that? We'll put a list together. 51551. But Anish Tosh and the Preve Skelton and Ogta Eileen Nicahan. Good Eileen. Thank you very much. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Just a few texts we didn't get to in the last hour. Could you give me the name of that song and singers of the lovely Hallelujah song you just played? We were loving it in the kitchen. Must find it on YouTube, Kira and Baby Max. It's Hallelujah is the name of it, and it's Haim, spelt Haim, H-A-I-M. And it was the song that Stevie Nicks wanted to dedicate to the late Christine McVie. And when you listen to the words, it's lovely, lovely sentiment. I discovered a thermos gravy boat that keeps the gravy roasting throughout dinner. Fabulous, says Mary in Clontarf. You'll have to send us in the details. That sounds like a brilliant invention altogether. And on Elvis Presley, Trish has been on, says, our three-year-old grandson Noel is a big Elvis fan and his favourite song is Jailhouse Rock. He says to himself, as in his granddaddy, Noel, do Elvis. And he goes on to knock his knees together. His other favourite is Puff the Magic Dragon. Hello to little guy who is Noel O'Shaughnessy, all of 3 years old. That's from his gran. Trish. Now, let's get to our quiz. We have two quizzers standing by, and we have a prize, which is a two-night stay for two people at the Fota Island Resort. You can relax in luxury in one of the gorgeous suites overlooking 780 acres of lush countryside. Unwind at the Fota Island Spa or experience a game of golf on one of their three magnificent championship golf courses. And of course, Fota is down there in Cork. It's beside the wildlife park. You can go into Cork City. You can go out to East Cork, which has loads to offer. FotaIsland.ie. FotaIsland.ie. We say hello to Margaret McCardle. How are you doing, Margaret?
How are you doing, Ray? How are you?
Good. You're up in the little county of Louth in Dundalk.
Yes, I am. I am indeed.
What are you up to today?
Cleaning. I was telling the girl I'm cleaning. I found cobwebs that are older than me. Honest to God.
And is the reason for the big clean?
Well, Christmas. I have to get the decorations up for the grandchildren.
Yes, and that's the thing. You don't want to put decorations up over cobwebs. That's not.
No,
that's
I don't. Not on. Oh, no. These were serious cobwebs, They really were.
And where do you store the Christmas decorations?
Up in one of the bedrooms upstairs.
Okay, and
they're hidden. They're hidden, though, but they're well covered.
Are you going real or artificial?
I have an artificial one. I have it a few years, and it's big, but I love it. I love it, Ray. Yeah. I'll be able to hang the Ray Darcy mug on it when I win it.
The thing about the keep cups is there's no handle on them. So because it's a keep cup. It's one of the ones that you reuse and you bring to your local cafe and they fill it with coffee. You know, it's good for the environment. We're doing our little bit for the environment,
good
Margaret.
Man.
Yeah,
perfect. Perfect.
So the weekend when you're finished cleaning, you'll put up all the decorations.
Well, that's the plan. Now we'll see. I'm wrecked. I'm at it since morning and I'm getting there.
You're getting there. And how are you on the roast dinner? How do you do your roast potatoes, or have you any specific way?
I love my roast potatoes. I actually love my own roast potatoes.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I just do them with olive oil, little bit of salt and black pepper and pop them in the oven. That's it. Job done.
And do you parboil them, no?
I do for about just over 5 minutes, yes. Maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah. So a lot of them suggest that you start the potatoes in cold water and then, you know...
I do.
Yes, and then you bring it to the boil. Yeah, that's the way you do it. Yeah.
But I love roast potatoes and you're making me hungry now talking about.
And you're a big... Well, make you more hungry. You're a big fan of mint sauce on everything.
Mint jelly.
Mint jelly, right.
I love mint jelly.
But that's just for lamb, isn't it?
On beef. No, I love them with roast potatoes. I love
you
mint jelly.
You put the mint jelly
on
roast potatoes. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I really love mint jelly.
Whatever works for you.
I know. I'd take mint jelly over gravy.
Would you?
I would, yeah. Right. I love mint jelly.
Go on. I was going to introduce Michal there and ask him what his opinion on mint jelly is. How are you, Michal?
How are you doing, Ray?
Good. Michal Healy is in Clare. Whereabouts in Clare are you, Michal?
In Milltown Malby.
Milltown Malby, yeah. And you're up against Margaret today. Say hello to Margaret.
Hi, Margaret.
Hi, how are you?
Have you any strong opinions on roast potatoes or mint jelly or both of them together?
So, hard pass on the mint jelly.
Right, okay.
Not fan. my mother is a big fan, but only on lamb. Never got a taste for it.
Right.
And roast potatoes, yeah, very, very pro roast potatoes in the sense.
Yeah, and do you cook them yourself or does somebody do the cooking? Somebody else do the cooking?
We share it. So, it's sometimes me and it's sometimes my... other half. I can echo most of what Margaret was saying there, you know. Keep it simple. Parboil, olive oil, salt and pepper,
that's it,
you know.
Now you're taking your daughter Eva to Ennis for a school project.
Yes.
What's the school project?
Okay, so she is in PY transition year and she's doing an enterprise course or an enterprise class as part of her PY. And she, as her enterprise project, has invented a board game. Board game is called Sensory Search. In the school that she's in, which is the secondary school in Spanish Point, here at Neros, they have an autism unit. So she worked with the kids there and, you know, has had an interest in, you know, kids with learning difficulties and so on through her life. And so this game... As you may know, like kids with autism and so on, they can be fascinated by various textures and different things that you know, run your fingers through or pull at and so on. So the board game is a kind of, you know, a journey, like a Monopoly board game. You start to go and you go around the board, but while you're going around the board, you're also being given tasks and challenges, and they involve various different areas of the board itself, which have different textures.
Aha,
so
right.
if you can imagine... Yeah. If you can imagine something like a hairbrush, like that kind of bristly
No, I get it. I have a picture in my head.
Clickers.
Brilliant.
So she's really excited by it. And her teacher has been absolutely brilliant with her. So she's going to Ennis today. We're going over to a printer's today. She has sent them all the layout and everything, and they're printing it off for her. So she's got a... they've got a school open day tomorrow, kind of Christmas market. So she's going to be
selling
Century
Search,
taking orders, and
brilliant. Good luck, Eva, on that one. Is it Eva or Ava?
Ava.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So it's Michal versus Margaret. Three questions each. If you go for a long clip, you get a point. Go for a shorter clip, you get 2 points because it's more difficult. Whoever has the most on points is the winner. If it's a draw, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck. Here we go. Now, Margaret, the year is 1986, and we're starting on the small screen this time, on the television. Do you want to go long or short?
I'll try short.
Short, okay. Can you name this popular political sitcom about the head of government in the UK? Here we go.
There has been movement on a subject on which the civil service hopes there would be no movement.
The civil service generally hopes there will be no movement on any subject.
Is it yes, Prime Minister?
It is, yes, Margaret. Oh, cool. Yes, Margaret, it is. I loved that. It was so brilliant. Brilliant. Paul Eddington and Paul Hawthorne, and you get 2 points for that. Well done, yes, Prime Minister. Okay, Michal. Michal, 1986 on television. What do you think, long or short?
We'll go short again.
Short. Can you name this medical drama that was a main part of BBC One's Saturday Night TV and is still running to this day? This clip features our own Brenda Fricker, who was a regular on this programme at the time.
Remind me why I started this shift.
Teamwork. Flexibility. Touch of kamikaze.
Thank you.
Well,
I'm going to have to say Casualty on that one.
Yes, you're correct. 2 points. Well done. Good start from both of you. We're on to music for you, Margaret, on your second question. Do you want to go long or short?
Okay. 86. I'll go short.
Short. Can you name the song or the singer here, formerly of the Supremes, and the song written by the Bee Gees?
You took the mystery and made me want. You got a pedestal and putting me on it.
Who's that?
Diana Ross.
It is Diana Ross. And Chain Reaction, 2 points for you. Ooh. Michal, what are you going to do?
Yeah, we'll go short.
Short,
I have to, don't I?
Yeah, you do. this singer was the former frontman with prog rockers Genesis. Can you name him or this song?
You could have a steam train if you just lay down your tracks.
Yeah, that's Peter Gabriel.
It is. Sledgehammer. Great video for that. And you get 2 points. Yeah. So it's 4-all, down to the wire. Right. Margaret, it's current news and current affairs from 1986. What do you want to do?
I'll chance two.
Two again. Okay.
Short.
Now, what was the name of the storm that hit Ireland in 1986 and left a huge amount of damage, especially from rainfall on the East Coast? Here's your clue. Short clip.
The gale force winds and heavy rain which lashed the East Coast caused damage estimated to run possibly into millions of pounds.
Charlie.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes, it is. It is. I don't know where that came from. I don't know. I thought that seems very difficult, but it wasn't difficult for you, Margaret.
I remember it. Remember it.
So, coincidentally there, that's Charlie Bird doing the reporting on Hurricane Charlie.
Oh.
Yeah, so there you go. Six, well done. Well done on that. Now, Michal, under pressure. Dun, 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 dun.
Indeed.
Yeah, so you sort of have to go short, don't you?
I do, indeed, yeah.
Yeah, so if you go short as you're doing, get it right, then it brings us to a tiebreak. But good luck with this, your final question. What major sporting event was taking place in Mexico in 1986?
Rudi Völler flicks it across the goal now. Rummenigge gets a foot to it. Score, 2-1.
That's the Football World Cup.
Yes,
Men's Football World Cup.
It was, yeah. And that was an official FIFA film narrated by Michael Caine there. And you get 2 points. Well done to you both. So to decide a sort of a penalty situation, we have to go to a tie-break question. Unfortunately, it's not the ideal situation, but that's where we're at. So we asked you a question before you went on air. I'm going to repeat it now for our listeners, and whoever has answered closest to the correct answer is today's winner. According to Google Maps, how long would it take for you to cycle from Marley Park in Dublin to Thomen Park in Limerick? And Margaret, your guess was...
I think I said 10 hours 15.
You did. You said 10 hours and 15 minutes. And oh, your guess, Michal?
It's unbelievable. Mine was 10 hours 25 minutes.
Wow, very close. It's
good man, Mike.
Are you connected in some way, the two of you?
None whatsoever. Henceforth, no. But not up to now.
Yeah. It's 198.8 kilometres. And I can tell you that both of you are very close, obviously, because you're very close to each other. But both of you are very close to the correct answer, which is 10 hours and 5 minutes.
Oh.
Yes. Which means, Margaret, you're the winner.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I am.
Congratulations, Margaret. Well done.
Thanks, Michal. Thank you so much.
Michal.
I think I said 10 hours. Actually, no, let's go 10 hours 25.
That's exactly right. And I said 10 hours. And then I said 10 hours 15.
You are connected in some strange way. Michal, sorry about that, because you did so well.
That's all right, Ray.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Michal.
Yeah, listen, we're going to send
you out. No problem, Margaret. Enjoy it.
A Ray Darcy Show Keep
Cup. Thank you.
And we don't do this, and this is a once-off, but because Ava is there on the way to Ennis and she's doing such great work for the people in her school, we're going to send her out one as well. So two Ray Darcy Show Keep Cups on their way down to Milltown.
You're very good. Okay.
Well done, Michal. Ava, good luck with the whole thing, Century Search.
Good luck, Ava.
Bye. Now, Margaret, well done.
Thank you, Rich. Yeah. Thank you so much.
That was all very close, wasn't it? All very close.
Oh, it really was.
Yeah, you're off to Foda Island Resort, and you can go to fodaisland.ie to see what's in store for you.
Thank you
Brilliant.
So much, Ray.
Well done. Great talking to you. Good luck with the clean and the decorations.
Ray, could I say hello to my lovely, happy birthday to my lovely sister Rona for tomorrow?
Done. Yeah. Happy birthday, Rona.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you,
Thank
Margaret.
You.
Bye.
And I say hello to my brother, Kieran, and his wife, Rosemary. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, loads of text in there. Never realised the House Martins were singing about roast dinners as well. We'd be living in a world of peas. Yeah. Caravan of Love by House Martins is a tune, Ray. Feeling vindicated now that I'm in the top 2% of listeners to The Beautiful South in my Spotify Unwrapped this year. With the great Paul Heaton, the driving force behind both bands. Is it too early to play Christmas Tree by Dustin? Yes, it is, Sarah in Wexford. And the best non-Christmas Christmas song is A Winter's Tale by David Essex. I would rate that as a Christmas song. And those thermal gravy boats are in Home Store and More for $12.99. And when the thermal gravy boats are gone. They're gone. Sorry. Hiya, Connor.
Hey, Ray.
Yeah,
listeners are very funny.
They are actually very funny. I love our listeners. And just on a serious note, just in case somebody's looking for them, the thermal gravy boat is featured on page 14 of today's Independent. $7.99 from Aldi from Sunday. That's Lulu in Dublin. Have you any strong opinions on roast potatoes, marifat peas, mushy peas, anything tougher on any of that? No.
Well, I do amazing roast potatoes, if I say so.
Oh, dear. I think everyone thinks they do.
I'd say my roast potatoes are probably. I'd put them up against Nevin Maguire. They're that good.
Right, okay. What about Spotify Wrapped?
I was driving in today and I was listening to it and I hadn't checked. So I went off and I checked. And weirdly, Left Field's Open Up.
Right.
From 1996, Ray.
It was the most played song.
Was the most played song on my Spotify playlist last year or this year. And I don't even remember listening to it once. So like that was mysterious.
That is mysterious. Wow. Gremlins in your Spotify.
Yeah. I like the song and I do have it on a couple of playlists for sure. But it must have come up a few times.
Could anybody else be using your Spotify account?
It's a family account. Oh, yes, but I don't think anybody else would be listening to Left Field.
The reason you're here is to do Pope's Presence, to present Pope's Presence, if you like. And today we're focusing in, on sorry, photographic gifts. It's been a long week. Yeah, but photographs are brilliant because it's very personal. And we have so many precious memories now caged up in our phones. And so often, more often than not, they don't get printed, do they? So what we're suggesting here today, and we're giving you loads of different ideas, is that you go through your camera roll and you spot that lovely photograph that you might have taken on summer holidays or at a family event that might mean something very special to somebody in your life if it's presented in the right way. And there's so many different things you can do now, as you're about to tell us. So you can do the normal stuff like mugs and calendars and books and all that sort of thing.
No, absolutely. But you're right. We're probably the most photographed generation. Well, we are the most photographed generation. I mean, I think there's about 6 photographs of me as a child in total, because my parents obviously didn't want to waste camera on photographing their children. They wanted to photograph hills or whatever it was they were into. But by contrast, my children are more photographed than like a top celebrity. Like there's just like thousands of photographs. But I think it's really important that we keep them and we do something with them. So there's lots of different options out there. And as you say, mugs, wall and desk calendars, towels, key rings, mouse pads, water bottles. But there's three websites here that I'm going to recommend to people. There's photobox.ie, snapfish.ie and vistaprint.ie. Now, and then you can all, you know, so you can bring your camera, your photographs into a local camera shop and they'll print them out and frame them and do a really nice job on it. But I've used Photobox myself, and what's really nice about that is you create these little books. So it's a bit like the old school photo albums of times past, except you don't actually get printed out photographs. They're kind of the pictures appear as part of the book.
Uh-huh.
So like what you can do is you can do and this is something that you could almost start if you haven't got a tradition of it. So you could do the year in photographs, and you can select you want 32 pages of pictures, you want 48 pages of pictures or whatever it might be, and they range in price then depending on how many pages you want to go with. And what they'll do is they put all the photographs in the book, they send them to you, and they just make a really, really nice present.
Yeah, and all of those, I'd say, websites do it.
They do the same thing. Yeah, exactly.
And vistaprint.ie, so they all have variations on it.
Exactly. And the prices will depend on how many photographs you're uploading.
Speaking of a theme, it's a thing that I go back to over and over again. One Christmas, Jenny just got me one of those books, and I think she called it Super Dad or something like that. Ridiculous. But it was all photographs of me,
exactly,
mainly with very young children asleep in my chest.
Yeah. But and you know what? When you're 90,
those things will have real value.
Yeah. And indeed, when your kids are 90 and their children are in their 60s or whatever those kinds of things will have real value. Because I think the whole nature of photography is, I was saying, like, you know, we're the most photographed generation of all time, but it's also ephemeral. And if you lose the phone, or if the cloud, whatever the cloud is, if the cloud disappears, it takes all your pictures with it. So I think it's really important. And the nice thing is it allows you to go through your camera roll, which A, is loads of fun, and B, you pick out the best photographs.
You're curating, to use a very modern word.
And curating. The nice thing about phones is they make you look like a brilliant photographer. And it's like, oftentimes I take photographs of my children or my wife and they just come out stunning.
Yeah.
And they are stunning people.
Yes.
But like the pictures are amazing. I'm going, God, how did I do that? And basically I just pointed and clicked. And, you know, so that's another
that's
thing.
That's one. So all of that, go to any of those. But what we've done is we're sort of taking it for granted that people know about them, but we have signposted them and all this information will be up on our website.
And there's another one, and this is a great idea, and it's really cheap, really simple. It's Christmas baubles. But what you do is you get a Christmas bauble and you put pictures of your loved ones, or indeed grandchildren or whatever it might be, into the baubles. And there's Christmas photo baubles from Home Store and More, and you can get a packet of 4 of them for $3.49, and they come with this little template, so you can cut the pictures along the template and they slot perfectly into the baubles.
Lovely idea.
There's another one here. Jigsaws are something else. Now, I hate jigsaws. Like, I struggle to do a 36 piece jigsaw that my children have. Like, I'm just, my brother on the other hand was amazing at jigsaws when we were children. I just didn't have that jigsaw gift. But you can get photographs turned into jigsaws, and some people would love that.
Now, sorry, do you know somebody in your life who would like the gift of a 500 piece jigsaw of their face? Do you know?
The thing is, you wouldn't be giving them a gift of their face, you'd be giving them a gift of your face, which is even worse. But you know, you can get they could range in price, and you can get them on Photobox, for instance, and you can get them in 49 piece, 100 piece, 200 piece, 500 piece, 1,000 piece, or if you really hate somebody, a 2,000 piece jigsaw face.
It is a novelty one, isn't it?
It's a bit of crack, and for somebody who likes puzzles, like, you know, it's the kind of and the whole idea of presents. It's not to give something that they intrinsically want forever. Although there's some people do that.
Yeah.
It's to give them something that A, will give them a bit of a laugh on Christmas morning, and B, might give them a bit of joy after
Christmas.
And
I think about all of these ideas, it means that you've actually given it a bit of thought.
Exactly. Haven't you just walked into Brown Thomas or Arnott's and said, what's the dearest thing you have that I can afford, and take that? And then there's another one, on pocket printers. Now, these are kind of...
Before you leave the jigsaws here, just somebody says, we got a photo jigsaw of our dog, Peppy. And the kids love it. So there's the family pet. That's not a bad idea.
And probably not as egocentric, maybe, as getting a photograph of yourself. you could also get a photograph of a holiday snap that you took or something. Yeah. Something that means something to the family, and then you'd have fun piecing together all the pieces. So I kind of slag it off, but I can actually really see the value of it for other people who are more attuned to getting to fixing their puzzles.
Or less pocket, slaggy.
Pocket printers. Now, these, in many ways, they're really retro presents, because you're basically getting little mini printers that allow people to print out photographs themselves.
Ah, right. Okay, yeah.
Now, there's different types. There's zinc photo paper. Now, these use zero ink. A lot of this stuff is like, it's the science of photography.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Just give us the products. Yeah.
So there's one called the Canon Zoe Mini, and it's on the Harvey Norman website for $84.95. Now, that's reduced from €134.
So a Canon Zoe Mini.
And it looks like for older teenagers, it might be brilliant, because you can use different frames and filters. So basically, it's like you're turning your Insta feed or your TikTok feed into a physical thing, so you can apply all the different filters, and you can then turn it into stuff.
It's a nice
physical
idea.
Photographs that you can then keep, and you can make it into scrapbooks or posters or whatever it might be. And I can't forget the super socks, because the super socks are just fantastic. My family get me super socks every year. Now, some of your listeners will be going, what on earth are super socks? Basically, they're socks that have photographs of your nearest and dearest printed on them. Okay, and you can get them in Arnott's. You can get three pairs with your three children on them.
Right.
And then every morning you decide, which of my children do I love more today? I'll wear those socks. But my kids get a great laugh out of it.
It is funny.
I'm wearing their socks and I'm standing on them.
So you just deliver a photograph of whoever you want on your socks.
Here's the thing, the queue in Arnott's for the super socks counter in the run-up to Christmas is around the block. Okay. Like, it is massive, because it's the kind of present that people realise that they really want on the 23rd of December. And by that stage, it's like everybody realises they really want it. So if you are interested in the super socks thing, they are in Arnott's, and I would really encourage you to do it early.
And can you do it online?
You can actually go onto the website. And I think, as far as I know, you can upload the info. But if not, you'd be as well off to be a physical presence in the shop going, here you go. Because I know that when my family have done it, they've done it in person.
Right.
And I'm not sure if the function exists online, but it's on the arnott's.ie website anyway.
Super socks. I'm just looking at it here. Super socks, your dog socks, €20. Yeah, so €20 for one pair, is it?
Yeah, they're not cheap.
No, they're not cheap, you're right. But then they're unique. They're unique.
Price would you put on your children, Ray, or your dog? And they are, do you know what, they're just, again, they're a nice thing. And there's another one here that's very popular, and they're digital photo frames. Now, they've come a long way in the last decade.
I was one of the trailblazers. I bought a number of them at the beginning.
You actually, Ray, you bought me one.
Did I? There you go. That's a present.
A long time ago, back
see,
in
I it, thought I thought it was there was going to change how we live. But electronic
and even at
frame.
The time, like, I thought this is a brilliant idea.
Yeah,
but they have got so much better. In
why
in,
didn't they work? At, I'm trying to figure well, out. They weren't user friendly.
They were kind of clunky to use. The resolution of the pictures wasn't
great.
Out of this world.
Yeah.
And then you can they could be kind of distracting in the background of your living room, just random photographs sliding across. But they have got much better. And I think the digital photo frames are probably where we're going to go in the future.
Right. Give us a quick mention of them then.
There's the Aura Mason 9-inch Wi-Fi digital photo frame, which is available on curries.ie for €189.99. And the full price of that is €229.99. So that looks like a pretty good quality one to me.
So think photos, and loads of suggestions there. And all that information is going to be up on our website. And Conor Pope will be back presenting more Pope's presents presently. Thanks, Connor. Cormac and Sarah on the way with Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.